And as we wrap up our final broadcast for October through the end of the day, the Danic hook will be our e-store item of the month. We always picture a different item from our e-store that we have tested and found useful and applicable to Arizona homeownership, but it's the Danic hook. Very interesting three-way attachment for boating, camping, securing cargo loads, coming back from the hardware store, a lot of applications in construction for tying a line. So it's a nice, easy way to secure a line without having to tie a knot, and easy release. So that's at the Rosie on the House e-store.
And if you're a regular subscriber of our email newsletter, you can go to rosieonthehouse.com and ask for a subscription. We'll never give your name to anybody, but we'll send you an email every Thursday and just kind of give you a heads up of the things we're going to talk about this coming Saturday.
Let's get to Chris. Welcome to the program.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Want to put on a new roof, and I'm debating on what company to call. One person came out. My house is 1650 square feet, and he told me I have 3,500 square feet of roof, which I find hard to believe. Just a three-car garage and maybe a 10 by 20 patio. That's it.
Well, 1650 a livable. Is it a flat roof or a pitched roof?
It's a pitched roof and a three-car garage.
Okay, so 1650 with a pitched roof is going to take your surface area of roof up to about 2,000 square feet. It's going to add about 30%. So you're at 2,000 square feet roughly on the pitch. And a three-car garage is going to be another 600 square foot, takes you up to about 1600 takes you up to about 2,600. And then that patio is going to be another couple hundred. Not even knowing where you live, not seeing your house, if you're 1,650 square feet with a three-car garage and a back patio, you're probably going to be close to that in square footage.
Very good. Could you recommend somebody? And then I have a quick question. I had a hot water heater put in a year ago, and every time I turn it on to let the water warm up, I get like a rotten egg smell in there.
I was going to say the anode rod's probably disintegrated. But
every tank-style water heater has a magnesium rod down the middle of it, but it generally lasts several years. Once that's gone, we replace that, and generally that smell goes away. But, Chris, as far as finding a roofer, wherever you are in Arizona, all you need to do is go to rosieonthehouse.com, type in your zip code, say you want a roofer, and our website will automatically give you roofers that are closest to you. And anytime you're wanting to do anything around your house, home, castle, or cabin, you always start at rosieonthehouse.com. Good morning, Jim.
To you too, guys, and to your whole team. Really appreciate everything you guys do for us. Where my patio door frame connects to or meets up with the tile in our living room, There's a line of grout that was put in by the builder to separate the two and hold the tile in place. Well, I think because the two dissimilar materials, being the aluminum and the tile and the grout, react differently to changes in temperature and humidity, my grout line in that area keeps cracking and breaking apart. So my question is, what's the best material to put in that joint to reduce or eliminate the cracking?
I'll tell you, one of the tricks we use when we're going up against an aluminum threshold is we take a bicycle inner tube and cut it into strips and mastic apply it to the backside of the aluminum threshold. And then we grout up to that, and it allows a small little expansion cushion between the aluminum and the grout. And then we then let the grout cure, come back and slice a small V in it at the top, and then we apply sanded caulk in the color of the grout. And that is about the most reliable way you can stop that crack from reappearing, because you are exactly right. The two materials are not thermally stable, dimensionally stable. So give them a little cushion between the two, and it'll eliminate a lot of that and help you a whole bunch.
And we have Ken.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
I've always wondered if gas water heaters produce more calcium and buildup in the bottom of the tank than electric.
Possibly. There are what are called self-cleaning or self-flushing water heaters. A electric water heater has elements that are stuck into the side. Some have multiple places, top and bottom. That's what's heating the water. A gas one has a pilot light at the bottom. So if you do have a water heater that's not flushing or self-cleaning, as that sediment piles up on the bottom and the heating element heats it up, you do see that thickness start to kind of bake onto the bottom, making the gas water heater less efficient. But the self-cleaning flushing ones, the water intake into the water heater, they push it all the way down to the bottom and have a bend, and it turns around. So every time the water comes in, it creates a whirlpool type motion that kicks all the sediment up and keeps it from getting baked onto the bottom. So you just want to make sure you get a self-cleaning or flushing water heater. And then, of course, if you have a treatment system before the water is introduced to the water heater, you can eliminate that hardness and that mineral buildup.